And now we're going to share some practice ideas that we came up with.
Yeah, we were going to just kind of alternate, expound upon. Thank you, Lauren. That was beautiful. I love the last part about how we don't, everybody has their own path, their own karma, and we move with them, but we can't prevent them from having.
No.
Oh, karma. All right. So, practice ideas. So we have a bunch of suggestions, and one of them is simply give yourself more love. And I wrote down through self-talk, offer attention, again, in the words of Valerie Mason John, giving ourselves attention, affection, appreciation, and acceptance. I love how she, because I can remember that. I can remember that. And for some reason, that really, I can do that. Oh, what am I missing? I haven't been paying attention to myself. Just like Lauren was talking about, we can be up in our minds and get so busy, we forget to have joy, then we're, you know, jealous of someone else's. Nurturing ourselves. I like love language. I tell you, folks, I never used to use love language, but I do use some love language with myself now. And I tell you, it really works. And I like to do it. I was kind of forced into loving kindness. I didn't want it, like many people don't really want it, but we find actually we can't bypass it if we are true to the path. So that's what I wanted to say about that, Lauren. Would you like to add on?
Yes, I would. Because what I have, the thing that comes up for me that I've been practicing with self-talk and giving myself more love is that I've been realizing there's really bad self-talk that goes on in my head. And just something as one is there's not enough time. There's not enough time. There's not enough time. There's not enough time. And then I'm just running in this pressure and stressed. And I realized, wait a minute, that is not a very kind thing to be saying to myself. And so I just started actually saying out loud. Now, I live by myself, so I can do that. I will just walk around the house and say, there is enough time. There is enough time. There is enough time. Because I have to say it out loud, and I have to change that pattern. It's, you know, I was saying it so much and getting so stressed. I had a friend come visit from out of town, and I thought, I need to mop the floor, and I need to do this, and I need to make this lunch. And so then I was saying, but there's not enough time. And then I thought, you know, just forget that whole thing. No mopped floor, no lunch, just have fun with my friend. Joy. So that's just one example.
Beautiful. Sending yourself and others metta. Even in the middle of the day, how often do we stop and actually pause and look at someone, a total stranger? I've made it a practice of mine. I drive quite a bit now in between Skagit and Seattle. And when I'm stopped in traffic, I make a point of looking over to somebody in their car. And just imagining their world and just knowing they're just I'm just a human among humans. He, she is too. They have family, maybe not. They're going somewhere. We all feel this stress. We all share so much as human, fragile humans. So I give them metta. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be at ease. I call that actually, that's similar to the other one I wrote about opening our hearts to people.
Yeah. I will just give an example of that, I think, is I remember Joseph Goldstein talking about if he just had the idea that he wanted to do something nice for someone or be generous and offer something, not to second guess himself. If he had one little inkling leaning, just go for it. And so that was one thing. So I put money in my purse, so I have it to give to people, whoever just, you know, catches my attention. And there's a person who sells real change. But I didn't like the way she didn't look at me. And I was found I was judging her. Well, she should look at me and, you know, acknowledge that I'm here. And then maybe I'd give her some money. And then I thought, no, my job is not to judge who deserves my generosity or my metta. So I got rid of both those things. And now I'm good friends with this woman. And I see her she knows that I always, you know, get a real change from her. And it just really switched.
Beautiful. A gratitude list is something else. Five things we're grateful for compared to the 10 complaints we have, you know, to outnumber the complaints. So because our minds are habit and what we are focused on becomes our reality. So if we're always complaining, so let's switch that out a little bit. What are we grateful for, or what are we happy for?
So my part with that is that for a year and a half, I've had a gratitude buddy, and we send emails to each other every day. And we've only missed a couple of days in a year and a half of sending it. And what I've seen myself is that a lot of times that gratitude has to do with awareness or insight. You know, I realized this, I was aware of this. So I've actually added to my gratitude list, it's gratitude and awareness, because in our path, being aware of things is really something to be grateful for.
Oh, yes, indeed. Thank you. We kind of skipped over gladdening your mind, which is something I heard from Tweri for the first time, actually. And it was like, oh, wow, we can do that. I can go to YouTube and I can Google babies laughing. It was hilarious when she said that. It's like, gave me permission. A whole other world opened up. Babies laughing, kittens playing, you know, back at Saturday Night Live watching a monologue or something. But it's important, because again, we're used to this defensive contraction, and we don't have time for the good, as Lauren was just sharing. So can we do some uplifting activities? Maybe nature, maybe not an activity, but something that put down news for the day. You know, we have to probably discover that, don't we? We have to discover how to gladden my mind if we're so far from it. How do I do that? Being open to the moment, being open to joy and wonder is one thing I like to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I like those the puppy and kitten videos. And so I know what you're saying. I have a friend who sends those to me, and then I find this big smile on my face, you know, when I was kind of grumpy right beforehand. The phrase that I use that has helped me is called Surprised by Joy, which comes from a famous poem. But I just realized that I'm surprised by joy a lot of the time. It's when I don't expect it. So that, just saying that, surprised by joy, makes me realize it can be a surprise anytime. You never know. And it can be very small. Often I notice it when I'm meditating. You know, I suddenly hear a sound, like when you were doing the meditation today, you were saying a sound and this and that. And yeah, that was joyful. That made me joyful. So
I think joy is a surprise. Mm-hmm. I think it is. I think it is a sudden, because we don't plan for it.
Aren't joyous when we plan for it. That's what I found. I would have these big plans. This is going to be this nice evening, this great trip. And no, I wasn't feeling joy. There was, you know, all this stuff was happening. And then where did I find joy? Well, you know, I'm in my backyard and I see a caterpillar or something, a butterfly, I don't know. And all of a sudden there's this joy. And I think, wow, I didn't plan that. I wasn't expecting it. And, you know, and there it was.